today at Sydney University, the Prime Minister gave a landmark speech setting out policy directions on artificial intelligence. The speech comes amid ongoing debate about how Australia should respond to AI. The wise Aspen Bailharts talked to Andrew Cullen from the School of Computing and Information Systems at the University of Melbourne and asked how the PM was able to strike a balance between threats and opportunities artificial intelligence could provide for this nation.
So there are at least two schools of thought that I think we've seen on the AI race. There's a kind of a pro-AI camp, which says there are these huge economic opportunities here and we can't afford to miss out on them as a country. And there's also a sort of interventionist camp, which thinks there are these social risks, environmental risks, and we sort of can't afford to let them loose without some regulation. And the PM is also navigating both of these camps within his own government. So in this speech, where did you see him landing?
I think the speech was incredibly positive in terms of its discussion of how we take artists' rights and creators' rights and fairly assign copyright value to the things that they produce and the things that AI models ingest. So I think there were some really positive signs there that Australia isn't just going to capitulate to the idea that AI is inevitable and that all data should just be folded into it without payment. And I think there's lots of positive signs in terms of co-investment, in terms of energy and infrastructure and to kind of manage the impacts that AI brings. However, there are also a lot of kind of really big technical challenges that will be required to meet the goals and meet the aspirations of the Prime Minister's speech. And I think at the moment, Australia is probably lagging behind in terms of our investment in our people to make sure that we have the technical capacity to be able to meet these challenges. It's all well and good to open up Australia to external investors, to build data centres, but without investing in Australian intellectual capital, we won't be able to kind of meet the needs of the Australian people when it comes to AI and to kind of meet the moments of the AI generation as it's happening.
Yeah, what do you think that would look like? Is that like STEM graduates? Is that people who know how to deal with this technology?
Definitely. I think investing in STEM graduates, in research, in infrastructure, and in commercialization pathways for AI, all of these things are really crucial for Australia to be able to capture value, not just as a great wide land where data centers can be placed, but as a place with really strong intellectual value and moral value as well, which we can imprint on AI and leverage to kind of build AI that has Australian values, that respects Australian ideals, and that kind of captures the opportunities that come that are far more than just our ability to generate energy and our ability to have land for data centres.
Yeah, let's come back to that land for data centres, because that was one place where Albanese spoke about some kind of limits. He said that data centres would have to underwrite their own power supply, they would have to limit their water usage. And I know you've got a background across engineering as well as cybersecurity. So how significant is that hardware side and the resource side of security?
I think the hardware and resource challenge is a huge one for data centers. Historically, and especially in the States where they're mainly built at the moment, data centers have mainly been put close to urban centers because they have access to kind of the power and infrastructure capacity. What Albanese was talking about in the speech was that not only should data centers not necessarily be placed near residential areas, but they should also underwrite the kind of grid costs to build out the kind of energy demand that these centers need. So on the surface, that's all really positive. It's putting data centers in places where people aren't going to object to them, where they don't have impacts on residential utility or anything like that. But the devil is very much in the detail when it comes to the infrastructure of these things. The two kind of main things that I always think about is the first that, while it's all good to say that data centers can, you know, underwrite new generation, any new generation displaces other sources of generation. Like if there is only the capacity to build one solar plant in Australia, just because an AI company is underwriting one to support a data center, that may well mean that a solar plant that could support residential housing doesn't get built. The second thing that's really important to consider is that when we talk about investment in AI infrastructure and in data centers, it's easy to kind of think of these things as being huge investments in Australia. The problem is that most of the money that is spent on data centers immediately goes back overseas. We don't have the capacity to build the chips that make up about 60 to 70% of the cost of a data center. We don't manufacture the mechanical ventilation, the cooling systems that are required for these data centers. So when it comes down to the investments for the data center, it may be that there might be a $100 million investment, but $90 million of that might go directly back overseas, and the money that kind of stays might just be in buying land and building up electricity generation.
Okay, and that's a pattern that Australia has seen a few times as far as being a resource-heavy economy, isn't it?
Oh, for sure, and it's, you know, it's one of our competitive advantages as a nation. We've got lots of space, lots of ability to generate electricity through solar panels or through coal or other or gas infrastructure as well. But the challenge to Australia always has been, how do we leverage the fact that we're also a knowledge economy? How can we use that to capture value for the whole of Australia, not just those who own land or own the generation capacity?
Yeah, yeah, okay. And let's finally come back to this really optimistic strain that you found. There were some pretty strong statements on copyright and artistic work, and Albanese said no country has got it right so far. But is what he's talking about something that's even going to be possible with how quickly this technology moves?
It's a huge technical challenge. I think on the surface, it's great to have the aspiration that all works that are ingested into AI are licensed and paid for fairly and appropriately at rates that the artists or creators themselves set. But in practice, it's incredibly difficult to tell if an AI model has been trained on data or not. And this has been kind of the fundamental problem with so many lawsuits against AI companies around the world, is that the real challenge is just determining if these AI companies have used the data, because they don't want to disclose it. Now, for the larger foundation models, like we're talking about Anthropic's Claude or ChatGPT, Australia may be able to convince the companies behind them that they need to declare at least some of how where they've sourced their data from and potentially pay some licensing. But there are so many mid-sized players in this space that are going to try and serve Australian customers without having any incentive to demonstrate where they've got their data from. And I think it's going to be a real technical and legal challenge for the government to work out how we can properly audit AI models that are coming into the country, not just for safety, but also for aligning with the copyright values that the Prime Minister is espousing. I think it's really important that the Prime Minister is looking to be a leader internationally and for Australia to be a leader internationally in the AI regulation space. I think that's really important. But I think we also need to be aware of the fact that AI investment in Australia at the moment in terms of people is lagging, and that we're also not a huge economy. We're a middle nation, essentially, and it may be worth us looking to partner with places like the EU, who also have really strong AI governance frameworks that are going into law. Because if we can join powers with other nations, we really will have the capacity to force AI companies to say, look, if you want to do business with any of these countries, you'll have to play ball in terms of copyright. If we do that, and if we kind of take this kind of community leadership approach, it may well really serve the interests of Australia overall.
Dr. Andrew Cullen from the University of Melbourne, speaking there with Aspen Beilharz.